Come ahead, my brother.
All right. Thank you, my good brother. The book of Genesis, chapter number 37. Good to be on this Wednesday night. And I got a friend of mine has his prayer meeting on Thursday. He has a pretty good crowd. I said, why do you have your prayer meeting on Thursday? The Bible says we ought to go on Wednesday. I thought I'd be spiritual. He said, no, we go visiting. Our visitation's on Wednesday. I said, why do you have visitation on Wednesday? He said, you'll be surprised at who we find home on Wednesday night. I said, no, you wouldn't, because I pastored the same church 32 years. A lot of people. Dr. Jerry Vine said in his book, Fire in the Pulpit, he said, we have a blowout on Sunday morning, and we have a turnout on Sunday night, and we have a fallout on Wednesday night. But I'm glad you're here tonight. And I've enjoyed being with you. And the Lord willing, after church, we're going to go home tonight. We're in a remodeling project there at the church. And then I've talked my sweet little wife to come up here with me tomorrow night and stay with me through the rest of the week. And I'm excited about that. And so when you see her tomorrow night, be kind to her. And don't stare at her and all. She's had a facelift and a new hair job, and she's lost about 400 pounds. So you pray for her. And when she comes tomorrow night, don't stare at her. And don't you tell her I said any of that either. I'll kill you. I'll accuse you of lying. Of course, this is a Baptist meeting. Nobody wouldn't lie around here. I know better than that. But, man, I've enjoyed being here. Brother Brown called me today. And he loves you people. I know Brother Brown like a book. He and I have been bosom buddies now nearly 30 years. And you people have honestly crawled up in that old man's heart. And he loves you. And he said, tell everybody that I'm feeling a little bit better. And what I think it is, I think he's about drove Diane crazy. And but I praise God for Brother Brown. He loves you. And he told me to tell you, he's been praying every day for the meeting. And then Brother Worley called. He said, how's it going? And I said, Charles, they're telling me I ain't scratched a bucket compared to what you did, but honey, I've tried. And we love those men of God. And I mean this tonight. I don't know of a preacher that I'm upset with, that I'm mad at. I've not talked about them. And I believe we need to get along. If we don't hang together, buddy, we're going to hang separately. And I'm glad tonight for the goodness of the Lord. And I do thank you pastors for coming. Every year at Greer Camp Meeting, one of the preachers will say, well, we're not going to call off our service because all of our members won't come. I bet they ain't all going to come if you have it at your church. But I appreciate you coming tonight. Good enough. Now, big price over here. If he has to get up and go, they're expecting a grandbaby. And we're just honored that she was here because she sent word she wasn't coming to this meeting if Jesus was preaching. But I'm glad she's here tonight, and I appreciate that. She was saved in one of our meetings the other day, and we thank the Lord for that. And we're praying for her to give up her snuff. And after that, I tell you, we're going to have a revival of Riot One, amen? But I'm glad we can have a good time. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I love you. Turn back around and say, I really mean it too, praise God. Amen. Genesis 37 tonight, and I want to read just several verses about the life of Joseph. And I want to bring a message tonight that I trust will be a help and an encouragement to all of our hearts. Follow me through the scripture. Genesis chapter number 37 in verse 5. Genesis 37 in verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Come down, if you will, to chapter number 37 in verse number 19. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. So twice we have read about dreaming Joseph. But now notice the rest of the verses we'll read tonight. It doesn't sound very much like a dream. Notice what happens now in chapter number 37 in verse number 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Notice what it says in verse number 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit. And sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Notice what it says now, Genesis 39 and verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Notice what it says in chapter number 39 and verse number 20. Chapter 39 and verse number 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. One more verse, Genesis chapter 40 and verse number 23. Genesis 40, 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. That doesn't sound much like a dream. In fact, it sounds more like a nightmare instead of a dream. And the Lord being our helper for a while tonight, I want to preach from this passage in the life of Joseph on when your dream becomes a nightmare. When your dream becomes a nightmare. I love the man in our text tonight, our friend, our brother, by the name of Joseph. Joseph, what a man. Joseph, what a life that he lived and what a legacy that he left. I believe you'd agree with me tonight when I say that Joseph was a dedicated man. I believe you agree with me tonight when I would say that Joseph was a devoted man. But I also believe tonight you would agree with me when I would say that Joseph was a dreaming man. He was a man that dreamed real big for the glory of God. Now the dreams that Joseph dreamed, they were not selfish dreams, but they were sovereign dreams. They were dreams that God was going to anoint him and exalt him and bless him and use him. And by the way tonight, there's nothing wrong with having aspirations. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. There's nothing wrong with dreaming of being blessed for the glory of God. Every young person under this tabernacle tonight ought to have some desires and goals that you're shooting for in your life. You may aim high and hit low, but you'll never aim low or hit high unless you ricochet off of something. It's okay to dream. In fact, all of us are dreamers to a certain extent. All of us have dreams. You're looking at a man tonight, by the grace of God and the goodness of God, that's living his dream. All of us have dreams. I remember as a child, you used to dream about turning 16. And then you would dream about getting your driver's license. And you dream about getting your first car. And then you would dream about meeting the woman or the man of your life, depending upon the gender in which you are. I mean, you dream about meeting this wonderful person that, praise God, amen. You're going to put a ring on her finger and she's going to put one in your nose. And you're going to live together in matrimony. And by the way, let me say this to you young folks. When it comes to getting married, if you're going to get in it forever, if you're going to get in it to death do us part, make it pretty. Hallelujah. And all of us dream about meeting the love of our life. We dream about our careers. We dream about getting a job. We dream about raising a family. We dream about growing old with our mate and living together to the sunset of life. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a preacher tonight, you dream about preaching your first sermon. You dream about being anointed of the Holy Ghost. You dream about maybe pastoring a church, or you dream about preaching your first revival. You dream about preaching a camp meeting. You got dreams. You dream about preaching and somebody gets saved by the grace of God. And all of us are dreamers, and it's okay to dream. I believe God wants us to dream. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a thing called life. And in life, there is a thing called reality. And sometimes life and reality has its way of turning our dreams into nightmares. You see, there's a thing called disappointment. There's a thing called depression. There's a thing called discouragement. There's a thing called divorce. There's a thing called disease. And yes, there's a thing called death that has its way of turning our dreams into nightmares. Here in our text tonight is young Joseph, and he's dreaming big for God. And God has given them his dreams. But yet, before the first dream ever comes true, he goes through 20 long years of one setback after another. 20 long years of nightmares before his dream ever came true. A man that knows the nightmare of being forsaken by your family. A man that knows the nightmare of being framed by your foes. And a man that knows the nightmare of being forgotten by your friends. A man that knows the nightmare of trouble. And a man that knows the nightmare of disappointment. But yet I'm glad when you read the last part of the life of Joseph, he's living the dream, because the nightmare wasn't forever. Amen. And when the joy came in the morning, Amen. He was living his dream. Aren't you glad tonight? The Bible said the weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. I'm glad trials are not forever. I'm glad storms are not forever. I'm glad disappointment is not forever. I'm glad the deep dark valleys are not forever. I'm glad the nightmares of the reality of life are not forever. I believe tonight that Joseph is a living, breathing, vivid, clear example of three great verses in Romans chapter number 8. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 8 that if God be for us, who can be against us? I believe Joseph illustrates that. Romans chapter 8 said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I believe Joseph illustrates that verse. Romans chapter 8 makes this statement, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I believe Joseph is a living, breathing, vivid example of those verses. I believe Joseph reminds us tonight that no matter how bad it looks, how bad it feels, how bad it hurts, how bad it tastes, how bad it smells, that there is a God who has our best interest in mind, and he never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. And the God that I serve tonight, in the midst of our nightmares, can still make our dreams come true, because he is holy, and he is worthy, and he is God, and he is with us in the midst of our nightmares. Three things in the life of Joseph that I want us to see when our dream turns into a nightmare. Number one, when your dream is a nightmare, you've got to realize that you are not alone. Let me say that again. You got to realize that you are not alone. There's a phrase that occurs over and over again in the life of Joseph, and it says this: and the Lord was with Joseph. 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 If you see Joseph in the plain, the Lord is with him. If you see Joseph in the pit, the Lord is with him. If you see Joseph in the prison, the Lord is with him. If you see Joseph at Potiphar's, the Lord is with him. And when you see Joseph in the palace, the Lord was with him. You know what Joseph discovered in the midst of your nightmare? Standing somewhere in the shadows is a sovereign God who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what Joseph discovered? That you can't go anywhere where God's not already been. And you can't go anywhere where God's not already at. And by the time you get there, he'll always be there. And he'll stay with you as long as you're there. And he'll beat you to the next place before you ever get there. Thank God, I'm glad the God we serve, he is a God that is above us. He is a God that is beneath us. He is a God that is before us. He is a God that is behind us. He is a God that is with us. He is a God that is beside us. He is a God that is for us. And tonight, if you've been to Calvary and washed in the blood of Jesus, he is God in us. I'm glad you can't get away from God, and God can't get away from you. I'm glad in the midst of a nightmare, you realize tonight you are not alone, and God is just as real in the valley as he is on the mountaintop. Boy, there's two statements in the life of Joseph. Man, that makes me want to jump up and down and holler glory. One of the statements is this: and the Lord was with Joseph and made him to prosper. Man, I don't understand how the word prosperity goes with him being forgotten, goes with him being framed, goes with him being forsaken. He doesn't look very prosperous to me. He's hated by his brethren. He's lied on by his brethren. He's sold into slavery for 20 stinking pieces of silver. His friends don't care anything about him. They lie on him. They conspire against him. He winds up in prison for something that he doesn't do. That doesn't sound like prosperity to me. But I'm glad tonight that God is the heavenly accountant, and God is the one that's keeping the score. And you listen to me tonight. You may look like a failure to your family. You may look like a failure to your friends. You may look like a failure to this whole world. But if God's on your side tonight, and God's helping you tonight, and God is with you tonight, you cannot be defeated. You are unstoppable. You cannot be conquered, because, hallelujah, the Lord is with us and made us to prosper. I want to tell you, the valleys may be deep and the burdens may be heavy and the night may be long, but there's somebody with me tonight. There's somebody on my side tonight. There's somebody that jumps up and down in my soul tonight that reminds me I'm on the winning side. I am prosperous. I've got blessings. The world doesn't know anything about it. Well, I want to tell you, there's a lot of things about the Christian life you can fake. There is a lot of things about the Christian life you can learn the mechanics of and fake. But honey, there's one thing you can't fake, I can't fake. Andy Gomer Goober or Laurel Lee Hobbs, amen, cannot fake. And that's joy in the midst of sadness. You can't fake that. Happiness in the midst of all hell breaking loose. I've seen God's people for 32 years pastoring out little church there in Georgia. I've seen God's people for 32 years. Brother Scott walked through some of the deepest darkest, darkest valleys. I've been there when their children died of AIDS. I've been there when their sons and daughters got arrested. I've been there when they buried mates. I've been there when they buried moms and dads. I've been there when their houses burned, when somebody robbed and killed somebody in their family. Man, you name it, we've been there with our people. And I have been amazed that some people in the deepest, darkest place in their life, they'll look at me and say something like this, "Preacher, it don't feel good and I don't understand it, but I love the Lord and I love Jesus and he's been so good to me." You realize tonight God's been good to us. He's prospered us. You say, "Oh, he's only done it. He's only saved me and that's all." Dear God, what else could he do to save our soul from hell and make us a fit subject for heaven? And the Lord was with Joseph and made him to prosper. Can I give you some good advice tonight? When your dream turns you into a nightmare, don't overlook your blessing while you're walking through the valley. Just look around. You'll find the Lord somewhere. And in your grief and strife, count the blessings of your life. Don't overlook your blessings while you're there. Don't get so blinded by the lightning and the thunder and the roaring of the enemy that you forget. Standing somewhere in the shadows is a God who can make you prosper when all hell's come against you. And boy, there's another statement in Joseph's life. "If I wasn't so fat, I'd turn a flip." It said, "And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy." Boy, I was operating a motor vehicle a while back, and God broke that in on me. I got pulled over, and the guy that pulled me over did not have a spiritual mind. I tried to share this truth with him. He couldn't see it. He just kept writing. It didn't bless him like it blessed me. But it said, "And the Lord showed him mercy." Amen. And the Lord showed him mercy. You say, "How in the world can Joseph go through all that hell?" The Lord showed him mercy. He didn't get any mercy from his old jealous brothers. He didn't get any mercy from his jealous enemies. He didn't get any mercies for his fire weather frivolous friends. I mean to tell you, when your family won't show you any mercy, and when your friends don't even know how to spell mercy, and when the world would spit you out and leave you to die, I want to tell you there's a God. Hallelujah. That'll show you mercy. Thank God for his mercy. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And in the deepest place, in the darkest place, in the most desolate place, there is a God that is with us and he shows us mercy. He shows us mercy. Not long ago, I was standing in the hospital talking to a good brother, and his wife was going through a series of medical maladies, and it was very, very a depressing thing. And that dear man looked at me with the tears running down his face, and he said, "Brother Joe, I don't understand this. She's not a harlot. She's not an adulterer. She's not a fornicator. She's not a thief. She's not a robber. She's a good woman. She's never said an unkind word to anybody." I said, "Now, son, don't lie. Y'all been married for 40 years. I know better than that." He said, "Really?" He said, "I've never heard a slang word come out of her mouth." He said, "She loves her preacher. She loves her pastor. She makes sure we pay our tithes. She's a good woman." And Brother Joe, this ain't fair. This ain't fair. She don't deserve this. I said to that dear brother, I said, "You listen to me. God does not deal with us on the merits of what we deserve. And we better thank God that he doesn't." Can I say that again? We better thank God tonight that God doesn't deal with us on the basis of what we deserve. I tell you this tonight, if God dealt with this preacher on the merits of what I deserved, I would not be in this meeting with this microphone in my hand preaching my heart out to you. No, I wouldn't be there. The only reason I stand before you tonight is because of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, I'm glad God didn't give me what I deserved. I tell you what I deserved. I deserved to go to hell and burn like bacon and be separated from God forever. But yet I'm a child of God, and my name's in the book, and the Holy Ghost lives inside. Whoop! And I got a home on the other side. I don't deserve that, but I got it because of mercy. Hey, when your dream turns into a nightmare, fling yourself on the mercy of God. Cast yourself on the mercies of God. God's got your bestest in mind. And though weeping may endure for the night, God will turn it around, and joy will come in the morning. Oh, when your dream turns into a nightmare, realize that you are not alone. Several months back, I had to take my wife to the dentist office. And you say, isn't that expensive? Yeah. But praise God, that's better than kissing a toothless woman. Say amen right there. And so we're in the dentist office. And I don't know what child abuse is. Let me tell you what child abuse is. When your kid's in the waiting room and you beat on him because he's crying before he goes back there. He may be mean, but he ain't dumb. He can hear them drills and saws and hammers and landscapers back there and them bulldozers. He knows he's next. Boy, I was just sitting there waiting on my wife, and I picked up a magazine and began to read it. And no, it was not Golf Digest. Bless God, that's for sinners and liberals. I picked up a real man's magazine, Field and Stream. Boy, I felt something right there. And I was reading Field and Stream, and I was reading about an interview that this forest agent had with a Navajo Indian, and said one day the Navajo Indian was walking through this beautiful forest, and said he looked up and said, God above, beauty above me. Then he looked down and said, beauty beneath me. He looked up and said, beauty before me. He looked around and said, beauty behind me. He looked around and said, I don't know what that means in Navajo. That might mean hallelujah, but he said, beauty all around me. Son, about that time the Holy Ghost came in that dentist office. He walked in that waiting room. He crawled up in my heart and said, Joe Arthur, what that Navajo said about beauty, you can say about me. God above me. God beneath me. God before me. God behind me. God all around me. And then he made a second trip, and he said, by the way, son, you can say something about me that the Navajo couldn't say about beauty. It's not only God above me, God beneath me, God before me, God behind me, God around me, but hallelujah, God in me. God in me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Fear not tomorrow. God is already there. Hey, when your dream turns into a nightmare, realize you're not alone. Number two, I gotta hurry. Secondly, in the life of Joseph, when your dream turns into a nightmare, remember that it's always right to keep on doing right. You say that's simple. It may be simple, but it's not done a lot of times. Let me tell you something, because something goes wrong in your life, that doesn't give you a license to act silly. When your dream turns into a nightmare, the worst thing you'll do is start acting stupid. And I know your mamas and daddies don't like for me to use that word stupid, but sometimes stupid is the only explanation you can get. And I'm going to use some real strong language here. But most people do the most stupid things in hard times and in bad times. And let me say this, and I know it ain't a word, but we're not in English class, and the stupidest. Now, if we have any Yankees that slipped it among us, stupidest is a derivative of foolishness. But the stupidest thing you'll ever do is take it out on God when your dream turns into a nightmare.
Amen.
You pastors here, how many times you ever heard it? Well, preacher, I ain't coming back to church because all them problems I'm having and all these things and all this stuff, I can't come back to church until I get my stuff right. Wrong day you something, buddy. Sitting at the house and wallowing in futility and wallowing in failure and sulking in defeat is not going to solve anything when your dream turns into a nightmare. That's not when you stay home from church. That's when you go to church, because you need it then more than you've ever needed it. You know what impresses me about Joseph? Not only some things I see in his life, but there are some things, Brother Charles, that I don't see in Joseph's life. You know what I do not see in Joseph's life? I do not see bitterness. I do not see one trace of bitterness in the life of Joseph. I don't see any anger in the life of Joseph. I don't see any hate in the life of Joseph. I don't see any revenge in the life of Joseph. I believe Joseph came to grips with this. What others do, I cannot control. But what I do, I am responsible for. He said, my brothers may not have a conscience, but I've got one. My brothers may not have any character, but I've got some. My brothers may not fear God, but I fear God. My brothers may not have any love, but I've got love. Let my brothers act that way. Let Potiphar's wife act that way. Let the baker and the butler act that way. But Joseph is not going to act that way. I felt him too near to my soul. He's been too good to me. He's been too merciful to me. And Joseph said, do what you will, but I'm not going to take it out on God. You say, Brother Joe, if that outfit would have had a conscience, they wouldn't have done that to me. Has it ever dawned on you? They just may not have one. I've heard people say, I tell you right now, if that outfit was saved, they wouldn't have done that to me. Has it ever dawned on you? They just may not be saved. But you are saved. Amen. And you have a conscience. Amen. And you got a relationship. Amen. If anybody acts stupid, let them do it and you stay with God.
Amen.
I don't claim to know everything. Now, I got some friends of mine, they got it all down, man. I preach with the greatest preachers in America. You know how I know? They told me they were. But anyway, I don't claim to know everything. And I don't know all the whys, but I believe I'm on to something right here. I can tell you one why for all of us in our life. Why did this happen? Why did it happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? I believe here's one why. You know what the devil wants you to do? Turn your back on God. Take it out on God. See, that's the whole thing, but it ain't between Job and the devil. It's between God and the devil, and poor old Job's caught in the middle.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He said, God, you let me take all that stuff you've given him. He'll curse you to your face. And God said, have at it. But when the last thing was missing out of his life, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. The devil done went and lied again. Boy, you know what I love about Joseph? If he's got to be a slave, he's going to be the best one. If he's got to go to prison, he'll get out on good behavior. He's not going to act like a heathen. He's not going to take it out on God. Hear me tonight. When your dream turns into a nightmare, stay with God. Stay with God. Stay with God. It's never right to do wrong, but it's always right to do right. So keep on doing right.
Amen.
Well, my husband acts stupid. Well, don't make two of them in the same house.
Amen.
Well, my young'un went crazy. Well, that's no excuse for a 50-year-old man and a 50-year-old woman to act crazy with them. Keep on doing right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, my friends, don't go to church. Let them get crossways with God. You stay with Him. You stay with God. God's been too good to you. God's been too good to me. Served Him into good times. Served Him into great times. Served Him on the mountain times. Don't you think He's worthy of our praise in the hard time?
Amen.
And our praise in the difficult times? Hey, I struggle with this too. But I want to tell you something old Becky Luther used to say. If you can sing when it seems there's nothing to sing about, then I'll know that you know the Savior. And if you can pray when everyone else says there's no use of praying, then I'll know that you know the Savior. When doubts arise and clouds arise and there's tears in your eyes, I'm glad standing somewhere in the shadows is a God that said, I love you, I've showed you mercy, I've been good to you, and you ought to say, Lord, I love you too, and I'm going to be good to you too. Stay with God in the midst of a nightmare. God, I'll turn it around.
Amen.
Trust Him.
Yes.
Live for Him.
Amen.
Keep on doing right.
Amen.
And God will bless you.
Yes.
There's a couple of preachers lately that's been after my hide. Boy, they've told lies on my family. They've told lies on my precious wife. Man, they've done everything they could to smear my name and hinder my relationship with other meetings and other people. And I'm human just like anybody else. But God spoke to my heart. Just as sure as my name is Joe Arthur, God said this to me. If your ministry don't mean no more to me, for me to defend it, it don't mean much anyway. God said, if I'm not big enough to fight your battles, you're in a mess anyway. The Holy Ghost said to me, stay on your game plan. Keep preaching Jesus. Keep loving people. Don't get bitter in the battle. I've got the last word. Hey, brother, they lied on Joseph and accused him for something he didn't do. But I believe when he went in that jail cell, brother, that cock and that door clanged shut behind him, I believe a peace went off in his soul. He knew he was innocent. He knew he didn't do it. And it wasn't long that God came through and God vindicated him. You don't have to throw javelins. You don't have to throw stones. You ain't got to answer your accuser. You just love God and praise God and stay with God. God is well able to take care of us tonight.
Amen.
And when your dream turns into a nightmare, realize you're not alone. Number two, remember that it's always right to do right.
Amen.
And number three tonight, when your dream turns into a nightmare, rest in the providence of Almighty God. You remember this tonight, God doesn't work by luck. He works by sovereign providence.
Amen.
Had a fellow hunting with me one time and he got his keys out. And that's a little old furry thing about that. I said, what's that? He said, that's my keychain. I said, I know that. What's that fur? He said, that's my rabbit's foot. I said, what's a deer hunter doing with a rabbit's foot in his pocket? He said, oh, Brother Joe, that's my good luck charm. I don't go nowhere without my lucky rabbit's foot. I said, I did one thing. It may bring you luck, but bless God, it didn't help the rabbit none. I said, because of your stupidity, there's a three-footed rabbit hopping around, wanting his foot back. I never known him to kill nothing but a floppy-eared doe. Brother, we don't live by no rabbit's foot. You say, I'm going to go home tonight and read my horoscope. I wondered if the horoscope I read was this morning when I got up and looked at myself in the mirror. That was horrifying enough.
Amen.
And if you think I'm ugly, turn to somebody beside of you. Amen. I'm just telling you, brother, we don't live by rabbit's foot. We don't live by horoscope. We live by the divine providence and the sovereign purposes of God. And he makes no mistakes. And he knows what he's doing. And he doeth all things well. You know the story in the life of Joseph, how one thing led to another. And all of a sudden, Joseph, the Bible said, and Joseph remembered his dream. Let me ask you, Bible scholars, something tonight. And this has not been facetious. There's people in this room. I respect your knowledge of the Bible. Let me ask you, could it be when it said that Joseph remembered his dream? Could it be, sir, that the nights were so long and the day was so bad and the burden was so heavy that he himself could have forgotten the dream that he dreamed? I'm not an English scholar, but I just kind of believe if you remembered something, that means you must forgot it. And I'm not saying that he did. I'm asking you, brother, could it be possible that the 20 long years had took its toll, and 20 long years of nothing but hell and trouble and disappointment and anxiety? Could it be that it was so hard on him and the nightmare was so frightening that he forgot his own dream? I don't know this, but I do know this much. The boys may have forgot it. Pharaoh may have forgot it. Potiphar may have forgot it. Joseph may have forgot it. But dear God, there's a sovereign, holy, providential, all-knowing God. He didn't forget. God didn't forget. And I need to tell you, God ain't forgot about you. Woo!
Amen.
And one day his dream comes true, and he's sitting on that throne, and he's got bread when nobody else has bread. As they say in Georgia, he the man. All of a sudden one day the door opens. Uh-oh. And in comes those brethren. The Bible said they didn't remember Joseph. They didn't know Joseph. But Joseph knew them. Can I just throw this out at you? I promise you the devil won't let you forget all them people that's done you wrong. Their face is stamped upon your memory. And you go to bed, bless God, and they're there. Try to go to sleep and you dream about them. Get up and eat breakfast and they're in your post toasties. Try to go eat lunch and they're in your hamburger. And all. And every time you see that face, you get ulcers all over again. I've had this before. Pastor, we love you and everything, but we got to go. We're not getting fed. We had some leave the other day. I said, why are you leaving? Because they said our heart is starving to death for spiritual preaching. That was an insult. And we love you and all. Love you and everything. My wife said the other day, the next time somebody says they love her, she's just going to slap them in the name of Jesus. But it hurts. And I love it when they say, and they don't take it personal. No, it's just my life. It's just my dream. It's just my baby doll. Yeah, I'm going to take it personal. And if I was a regular member, I'd want a pastor that took me and my family personal. And then they go acting crazy. And then you're trying to get over it. And then you have to bump into them at Golden Corral or Walmart, hear that, hey. Hey, me. Oh, hey, Pastor. Oh, love you. Oh, shut up. Well, I've been going through something a while back, and I was about half aggravated, and I told my wife she had to go to some kind of baby shower. I said, honey, it's unusual, but I got 4 hours today all to myself. I don't have any appointments. I don't have to be anywhere. I don't have to fly. I got 4 precious hours that I get to do something today that I like to do. So, baby, for 4 hours, I'm going to get in my car, and I love to do this. I'm going to go to all the car lots, and I'm going to lust after all them cars I know I can't have. And if I'll tell you one thing, bless God, it ain't no Dodge. Say amen right there. And I want to go look at the cars, and that's what I like to do the pastime. I just like to go look at cars. And I'm telling you, I went to 3 car lots, and every time I'd pull up in one, there's one of them at the same car lot, and I'm trying to avoid them. I don't want them to see me, because I know when I get near them, I'm going to get nauseated all over again. Hey, love you. And I'm trying to act like a Christian. Say amen. After the 3rd car lot, I said, I called my wife. I said, honey, I'm going home. I can't go anywhere to get away from them people. I'm going home. I want to tell you, the devil will run you in the ground like that. And I believe Joseph looked up. He hadn't forgot them faces. He knew what them boys looked like. Hey, the devil will make sure their face is imprinted in your mind. But you remember this, they've not been more bad to you than God Almighty has been good to you.
Amen.
They didn't know him, but he knew them. And through the series of events, you know the story. He toyed with them like a cat would toy with a mouse. And you know what he's doing? He's bringing them to a place of confession. And finally, when he couldn't hold it back anymore, he said, boys, come close. They drew close. And Joseph said, look at me right here, boys. He said, I am Joseph. Bless God, they didn't remember his face, but they remembered his name. And when he said, I am Joseph, son, their conscience kicked in. They remembered their old dirty deeds, and they got afraid and said, oh no, you're going to kill us. And I guess it'd be right if you did. And Joseph, you're talking about the mark of a great man. You know what he said to those boys? You know what he said to them? He said, am I in the place of God? Can I give you some good advice tonight? The greatest day in your life and in mine is when we quit playing God in our life and everybody else's life.
Amen.
God doesn't need any help being God. He doesn't need any help being holy and faithful and just and true. Quit playing God in your life. Quit playing God in everybody else's life. God doesn't need us to be God. He's God all by himself. And he makes this statement to them boys. He said, just let me tell you this. He said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And then it gets better. He said, and let me tell you why God did it this way. The reason why God does it this way all the time, because he's got the humanity, the lost world. He's got mankind's best interest in mind. Let me tell you why God did it this way, boys. God did it this way to save much people alive. Boys, God took my misery and turned it into a ministry. God took my tragedy and turned it into a testimony. God took my sorrow and turned it into a shout. God took my load and turned it into a light. God took my burden and turned it into a blessing. Hey, he said God was behind it. God was a moving and God was in the scene. And he did it to bless me so I could bless others.
Amen.
He said, boys, God looked through his sovereign telescope of omniscience. And he saw the famine coming.
Yeah,
he saw this day coming. And I tell you what he did. He just run ahead of all of us.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Whoop! And cleared off some real estate. Some through the water. Some through the flood. Some through the fire. But all through the blood. Tonight I'm glad God's got a plan. And it's running on time. You're not down on your luck. The fortune cookie has not gone sour in your jar. Your life. God have mercy. This is too big for me. Your life is in the hand of a sovereign, holy, omniscient God who's been where you've not been, who knows what you don't know. And I'm telling you tonight, don't get mad at him. He's good. I don't know why he does it this way, but he's got my best interest in mind. And he wants to make me a blessing. Hey, the whole world would have starved to death if God hadn't have met in the life of Joseph. And just think about it. Lord, have mercy. Just think about it tonight. How many souls will find their way into the kingdom of God if you'll just keep on doing right when your dream turns into a nightmare? Realize you're not alone. Remember to do right. And rest in the providence of Almighty God. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but can I tell you the Bible's true? Though weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning. Oh, one day Joseph walks out there. I enjoy you helping me. One day Joseph walks out there and he sees a wagon train coming back. Oh, he recognizes that old man up front. The devil said, you'll never see daddy again. You'll never embrace arms with your daddy again. About that time, Daddy Jacob steps off that wagon. And son Joseph and, hey man, Papa Jacob meet out yonder outside of the city. And little boy Joseph says, I got a place in the palace. I built you a mansion. Got a place for you, Dad. Come on in, Dad. We'll shake hands again. It's not a nightmare. My God, it's not even a dream. It's a reality. Honey, hang on. God's still alive. God's still on the throne. God is still good. It ain't going to be long till it's not a nightmare. It's not a dream. It's reality. Hallelujah. Farther along we know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Let's stand all over the tabernacle tonight. If you're here tonight and you've had to walk through that valley of disappointment, that valley of heartache, that valley of bewilderment, can I encourage you tonight? Don't get crazy. Don't cast away your confidence in God. Don't take it out on God. He's the best friend you've ever had. And there's people under this tabernacle tonight. You just need to walk down this aisle, kneel at this mourner's bench, and say, God, no matter what I feel like, I'm going to trust you. Whatever comes my way, I want to keep on doing right. Lord, I want to please you in all that I do. You've been good to me in the good times, And I'm going to be good to you on the hard times. Keep on dreaming. God is still on the throne. Sing for us.
In shady green pastures.
Well, glory.
So rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow. Bathes the weary one.
If you need help tonight.
God leads
trust the Lord.
His dear children.
Keep on dreaming.
Along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through
the blood. Oh, I like that.
Some through great sorrow, but God gives. Song in the night season and all the day long.
Do that, Mother, Brother Jim, sometimes on the mountain where the sun shines so bright.
Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright.
Been there a time or two.
God leads good up there. His dear children alone. Then sometimes
I've been there too.
In the valley,
been there too.
In the darkest of night, but
found
God
out that God is good right there too.
His dear children alone.
Sing with him.
Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through.
Praise the Lord. Shame on the devil. She ever lied to you? He told me that if I traveled across this country, my kids would die and go to hell. He told me that. From the time they were little toddlers till God saved them, he lied to me. He told me my kids would go to hell. I want to tell you, glory to God, I don't want to preach again. But I want to be like Joseph. When I don't understand it, don't even like it. Just keep on doing right. Boy, let's sing that chorus one more time.
Some through the water, some through the flood.
Well, glory.
Some through.
Right here's where my pastor, Brother Wade, would say, that live,
yes, sir.
That live,
amen.
That live,
yes, yes.
In the middle of the night,
amen.
When dreams seem to be coming nightmares. Hallelujah for the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Shake hands, you go. Be back tomorrow night, 7:30. You're at liberty.
Well,
amen, Joe.
Love you,
amen,
buddy.
Doc. Bless you, buddy.